where we're going to go and give away Christmas instead of trying to do Christmas. And so be creative, be interested, just neighbors, friends, what you carry, what you give. Let's just go and be Christ in the midst of everything. Luke 5 is where we're going to begin. Today we're going, I want to just share for a little bit, and then one of the things Cammie and I want to do along with the ministry team is we want to pray for any and everyone who is facing trauma, and especially Thanksgiving trauma. I call it PTSD, post-Thanksgiving stress syndrome. It happens because it seems to collect us back into the past, and not all of us have found ourselves free of our past. We are free in Christ of our past, but we don't know that yet. Our soul is still trying to sort things out and resolve issues. And I'll tell you a secret, you don't have to resolve anything in Christ. He resolved everything. Amen. If you'll let him be the resolution, you can just walk into the future. When we had our power conference, Julie brought the word of in Lamentations that his mercies are new every morning. And as soon as she heard that, I heard the Lord say, yes, I come every day with new mercies, but your old memories chase them away. And I thought to myself, that's right, because old memories cause me to respond in an old way, and I can't step into the new that's trying to present itself. So on the Friday night, session 7, in the Power Conference, which I'd really encourage you to go back online and watch it, and because began to release this message on God's healing power and to address the traumas. Trauma is, and it's absolutely a great, great, great teaching. And I'll touch on some of that. But traumas are those things that we get locked into and we can't get out of. They become memories, they're emotions, and expectancy, anticipation. And our soul then gets caught in the process. The next thing you know, it needs answers and resolution and solutions. You know, some of us have forgiven others, but we're waiting for them to ask us to forgive them. And that's a waste of time, honestly. It's a waste of your time. They don't need to ask you to forgive them for you to forgive them. You just forgive them, right? Does that make sense? But we get these kind of quirky conditions and stuff. We want resolution. Some of us are forgiving somebody, but we're not really giving them freedom to go do whatever they want, because we know if we give them freedom to do whatever they want, they might do what they did to us again. That's control. So it's not really forgiveness either. It's just kind of, I'm extending your debt and with interest. So a lot of things get, our soul, has anybody noticed your soul is kind of squirrely? It can work a lot of little things out, you know. It can turn life in your, but the fruit is in the pudding. And the life of a forgiving, liberated son of God is new every morning. With expectancy and joy. And let me just say this. I wake up just like you do. I wake up, sometimes my dreams have been circles of unresolved conflicts and things that I want or wish or go back in old memories. Sometimes I have great dreams. Sometimes I wake up to a big day that I didn't want to face. Some days I get to wake up to the day I've been waiting for so long, and I'm looking forward to it with everything. The one thing that I found, it's not how I wake up determines the day. It's what happens with my encounter with Jesus that will now set the tone of my day. So I know to not decide or settle into the day that is being presented to me until I have gone and appeared before the Lord and recalibrated myself back to heaven. See, I'm in this world, but I'm not of it. So if I'm not of this world, I've got to find, what am I of? And I'm of heaven. I'm of Jesus. My life is hidden with Christ in God. I am seated with him in heavenly places. So if I come and recalibrate myself through praise and worship, engaging who Jesus is, come and, you know, hang out in my mansion that the Father prepared for me, the place Jesus has settled, and come and then, with the truth in hand, worship Jesus for who he is, give him praise for what he's done, engage in conversation, what he's saying. Before I realize it, every time my emotions, my mind, my thoughts all begin to realign themselves to the truth of the Word of God, and my emotions begin to surrender to the emotions of the presence of God. And next thing, I've got joy, I've got peace, I'm being transformed because I've inadvertently, I'm stepped inside of glory. And glory is the means of the New Testament transformation process. We are transformed from glory to glory to glory to glory. So everything, and I'm going to get anointed in a few minutes. And the more anointed I get, the more disconnected I get from our present day realities. Because I get caught up in the presence of God and the truth of God. And I will find myself projecting or declaring the things of God. And I know some of you would think, well, man, just either that's too far away from me, I can't get there, or this guy must just, you know, he's got a screw loose in his head, he's decided he's just going to live in another place, it isn't true. But it isn't that way. I start just like you do. I just make a choice to go find that place, and I learned it. Prayer isn't to change the world, it's to change me. Prayer isn't to change you. It's to surrender to God, to let him have his way, to let him have his say. And it never is to bring condemnation. If you pray and leave feeling worse, you didn't pray in the right, you disconnected from the good source and got yourself caught in a reverse. Condemnation is not from Jesus. He never condemns. Never, never, never. You could go out and sin Saturday night till 3 a.m, come to church at 9. He's not going to meet you with condemnation. You may be a little tired, but he's not going to meet you with condemnation. What's he got to condemn you over? He already paid for everything you just did. You may be messed up. See, the problem is sin is not a moral issue anymore. It's just a control issue. And if you get into sin, it'll control you, and then you have to decide, do I like this master or that master? But it isn't a moral issue. You're not bringing anything to God by being righteous, and you don't take anything away from him when you sin. So we can disconnect from this kind of that process and begin to say, well, what do you bring to me? And he says, I bring life. I bring abundance. I bring eternity. I bring faith. I bring hope. I bring joy. I bring all that I am into your life. And I bring you into my life. And all we need to do is just make the connection. I believe once you make a connection with God, it lasts for the whole day. You can return in a split second. Whoa. There you are again. Oh, thank you so much. And the next morning, I wish it was there, but I got to re-find him. Have you ever found that? It's like he's just a papa that wants to play hide and seek. But the hide and seek isn't kind of like you can't find me. It's kind of come and look for me, because you need the faith expressed, you need the interest, and you need your soul to reconnect. And once you do, and the connection's there, then we can just flood truth and joy and peace. Holy Spirit's full of every emotion that the world is seeking. Holy Spirit is full of all of the glory of life. And once you're there, you're going, wow, why didn't I feel this way when I woke up? Because you're not God. Only God feels that way when he wakes up. Seriously, only God feels great. He is self-contained greatness. He's just great. Can't help himself. I'm sorry, I'm just great. But none of us are great. We are people to whom we were born into the fruit of the rebellion, which was that man could live apart from God and be as equal to God by knowing right choices of good and evil. So Adam and Eve were duped. They went that direction. We were born into that sin of separation. And so we are forever retrying to claim our life by making right choices. And then sometimes we just surrender. There's nothing I can do. I'll never change. And we just give up hope and we just flow with the stream. Other times we get more focused and we're trying hard to make vows and decisions and so forth. But the truth of the matter is, Jesus Christ came to annihilate sin and destroy its effect and its impact and its claim. And having done so, faith in the resurrection reunites us back to a dependent relationship once again upon God. For my breath, for my joy, for my peace, for my future, for my hope, for my, you know, Thanksgiving is Jesus. Some of us, like Cammy said, you could be in a crowded room wishing you were alone. You can be alone wishing you were in a crowded room. You could be wishing that you didn't have to be with your parents. You're wishing you had your parents still on the earth. Anything that you and I today go into the next day wishing for or desiring completion or correction or restoration is a waste of energy. And I mean it because Jesus Christ is a solution to everything you're looking for. Now, there's going to be some glorious miracles of restoration and reconciliation and stuff. But if you wait for that, you'll pine away. You'll pine away. But if you go, well, Jesus, until the promise is fulfilled, I'm going to enjoy the fruit of the promise fulfilled in your presence. I'm going to let you be my husband, or you be my wife, or you be my children, or you be my parents. I mean, I really, see, there I go. I'm already disappearing. I'm sorry. When I first began to practice living in God's presence, not to change my circumstances, but to enjoy God, and no longer valued and began to disconnect who I was by what I did, what I had, what had happened to me, and began to connect who I am by what Jesus did, who he is, and what's happened to him. And my identity began to change to Jesus because I practiced his presence and I enjoyed him. And that carried me day to day to day to day. And I remember the first Christmas came, and everybody came from all over the land, all the kids and family and cousins and everybody. And just, you know, we have 5 children, we have 5 grandchildren. If everybody descends upon our house, they just figured out this year they can't all stay in our house anymore, which is its own, thank God, miracle. So thank God for Airbnbs and all of that. But we make so much noise when we're together. It's just because we're loud and we're large and we've always had to be loud to hear each other. And I remember just having really no time to pray, no time to have this collection of myself. And I remember everybody's finally gone a week or two later, and I'm going to go and have some time with the Lord. And I thought to myself, oh, this is going to probably take some real processing, you know. What about this? And how about, you know, how am I going to reconnect myself, you know, with all of that noise and all of those events and all of those things that are yet to be done and undone and where they ought to go and need to go and won't go and have to go. And, oh, Lord. And I went and I remember, and I said, Lord, I want to be back with you, but I just want to talk. I don't know what we need to do. I don't know what you want to say, what we ought to think about with the children. And I had no sooner said those words, children, and he said to me, what children? And it was no like, you don't have any children. It was like, that has no disconnect from me and you. We don't need to sort anything out. I'm God, you're my son. The promises of their life that I've given you are over their life. You've raised them, you don't control them. Be free. Come have some fun with us. Let's get back in. I've missed you. And it was like that was the beginning where I started to understand that the presence of God is not to resolve the problems of today. The presence of God is just God. And he is fully large and in charge. I mean, he is not worried about Zimbabwe or Lebanon or President Trump. He's not trying to sort something to a different direction or foe. He'd like us to agree with the victory of his son. He'd like us to come into alignment with his triumph. But I can't really declare triumph of Christ until Christ has triumphed me. He has to triumph over me. The whole kingdom now for me is surrender to Him. And let His perspective, His truth, become my experience. And so I can, you know, the earth is uncovering its dead because of just so much sin continues to go under the guise of self-righteousness and self-justification and laws that are created to support evil and iniquity, that things are just starting to break out. And, you know, and we are grateful. I am grateful for the opportunity for people to begin to say, that's wrong. You know, the Me Too movement that began to say, wait a minute, I have been exploited. Power has taken advantage. Sexual force was pushed upon me, inferred over me. I was threatened. And the way that it's just terrific. But from there is going to come, I'm believing, the healed too. I've been healed too. Come see the man. Jesus' first conversion was to a woman who had had five husbands and was now living with someone who was not her husband. And her whole liberation came through a conversation to which Jesus did not say, I need you to pray this prayer. All he did was confront her with truth, to which she agreed, had a bit of a religious argument, and then surrendered that he was the Christ. And from there, she ran out of this encounter and said, come see the man who told me everything I ever did. Come see the man who told me everything I ever did. Could you imagine how we would be if we were running around doing that? We live in a culture, and the church is the worst. Don't let anybody see whatever I did. Because I know if somebody sees anything, they'll misinterpret it. And then they'll tell me what I need to do to not to do that. And then they'll put me under this pressure. I mean, the church, because we've tried to live righteous, are the worst freedom people. We're the least free, I think. You're not getting it yet. You're not getting it. You want to get it, but you're not getting it. Seriously, how many of you know Job's friends are still alive? All they do, they will give you a reason without a solution. And Job is still alive inside of every one of us. We'll try to stop that condemnation with self-righteousness. And the whole point was we were returned to the source. And not the matrix source. We returned to the God source. We are returned into life given through God. Identity given to me by God. Joy given to me by Christ. Victory given to me in Christ. So I can be, as the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 2, with the audacity to say, I had an opportunity of incredible ministry in Troas. There was a door open. God had given it to me. But in my spirit, I was missing my friend Titus, and I needed to go find him, and I didn't have any rest until so I left this glorious opportunity of ministry to go find Titus. And you know what? Wherever I go, God's leading me in triumph. You see, part of the power of thanksgiving is to thank God for the bad stuff and declare God is good in the bad stuff. Declare God is greater than. You see, when you live, you're born, you die. All everything in between is find Christ. So every experience I go through, if I find Christ, the experience is worth it. And every experience unveils the opportunity to discover Jesus in a way I wouldn't know him if I hadn't gone through that. You're not getting it. You want to. Has anybody had a really awful experience that you found God in an awesome fashion? Yes. Right. Right. So that you know that. Now let me just say this. Every awful thing that's happened to you has an awesome outcome. Every bad thing has a beautiful ending. Every failure has a freedom on the other side. Every loss has a new discovery. Every reproach has a new glory. We just have to find Christ there. But if we're trying to correct what we what's happened or resist what's happened, then we get ourselves stuck in what's happened. And we think, if I could just get this thing cleared up, you know, if I could just have a conversation with my dad, who's dead for the last 20 years, and resolve this issue. If I could just tell my parents what the way they treated me, what it did to me. If I could just, if somebody, we get these things, if this could happen, then I could go free. It's a lie. It's a lie. I don't care if it makes sense. I don't care if it sounds logical and it would work on paper. It's a lie. The lie is you will not be free by yourself, through yourself or others' efforts to free you in themselves. Self is not freedom. Jesus is freedom. Jesus, only Jesus is freedom. We have to acknowledge Jesus. We can go into Thanksgiving this weekend and it can be whatever it's been, but it'd be totally different because of Him. Because of Him. Because of Him. But we have to connect to Him because we want, you see, my old prayers were, Jesus, I'm going through a situation that I really need you to change everything so it doesn't affect me the way it is. That's huge. If we all got our prayers answered, we'd all be dead by the end of the day. Because somebody knows if you die, their life will be better. We just all drop dead. So God doesn't say, God says, hey, I got a better plan. Why don't I just not change anything around you, but change everything in you? In fact, why don't I just increase the outside so the inside comes alive? And once you discover the secret, that's really what He's doing, the awful reality that life's not getting any better. But Jesus seems to just be happier all the time. He's triumphing every time. He's always in triumph. Every time I meet Him, He's got a positive outlook to the world. He's glorious, He's victorious, He's triumphant, He's full of life, He's full of health, He's full of deliverance, He's not in any issues that I'm stuck in. So maybe I'll just leave all this stuff and go be with Him. See, that's Christian liberation. That's the opposite of despair that says, I'm just going to end my life and leave the planet and then it'll be over. No. But it is, if life is that bad, let's just go be with Jesus. Oh, but it's just so hard. Of course it's hard. If it was easy, you would already have done it. Yeah. So you get up in the morning, you go, There it is, the same day I left yesterday, right there staring at me. Same problems, same condemnation, same accusation, same struggles, same troubles. Dear God, when is this day ever going to change? And God's just saying, come on, come on, come on up. Come on. And we're that child. It's, no. Come on, let me just first hug you. Let me hold you. That's what mercy means. Let me pick you up and fondle you. You're merciful. Then let me come and be engaged in your life that's being gracious. And just have a moment with me. So if you could, prayer is to experience God. And prayer is for God to experience you. And the honest truth is His word, and whatever His word says is true. So if I engage with God truthfully with who I am and receive His word of truth about who He is, soon who He is overruns who I am. And I know it's hard. I know it's like, because you go to pray and you think prayer is supposed to be prayed in a certain fashion and it's supposed to accomplish a certain outcome, and God's, you know, like God's counting on us to push back the evil and the darkness of the land and to change the tonalities of the world. And dear God, He's not waiting for any of that. He already did it all. He already defeated darkness, already undid Satan. Satan is operating on false authority through our accepting his lies over our lives. He's telling us we have no right to the throne room when Jesus said, why don't you come on up and enjoy it? And we have, the war is in our mind over deciding, do I keep going the loopity loop or do I step out of an old thought into the new place? And it's hard. But open your mouth. When you pray, open your mouth. Say enough to hear and to engage and then begin to declare the word. Scriptures are and find good scriptures, not bad scriptures. Happy scriptures. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Help me out, come on. All right, help me out. So God wants to wipe away the tears. We're not going to get to Luke 5. I wish I was, but. Thank you. He wants to wipe away the tears. He wants to go to the source of origin where our life has been. Remitting sins, wiping away tears is the Greek word to blot out by the anointing oil smeared at the place of origin of sin, of conflict, of offense, of struggles and troubles. If you experience God at the place of the origin of your separation, you are returned to God and the separation is overcome and overthrown with love. And what was once the darkest place becomes the brightest place. What was once the worst memory becomes the greatest experience with God. And all of a sudden, we become the mouthpiece of God because we're no longer correcting the problem. We are just accepting the solution, Jesus Christ. We're not trying to, we all make, you know, we make all these rules, right? Most of us are living with lists of rules that we have adopted to make sure whatever we went through bad before will never happen again. And those rules are control and law, and that just empowers the problem to continue to increase its ability. But if we can begin to go, Jesus, man, I hate my life, but I sure love you. I hate my job, but I sure love being with you. Just be honest. But you see, he's not the one who gave you a bad job or a bad life. You did that to yourself. Accept responsibility. I am who I am. Right? Studies show. Give us all $10 million. We'll all be about where we have the same amount of money in a few years. Because we'll all practice the same amount of money with the same habits we already carry. So God wants to change us the inside outside. If the Lord touches you, if you have a conversation sitting at a well, wanting to get water, ashamed of your life, and he asks you a question about who you are, and you answer him about who you are, and then he speaks about who he is, and then you have a little question about can you be who you are, and he says, well, do you believe I can be who I say I am? And you go, well, I'm not sure. You haven't been who you said you were until this point. And he says, well, how do you know I'm not who I am, what I said it was? Maybe it's who you are that's causing you to see who you what. And he will just process with you. That's prayer. And then when he gets a hold of you, there's just a moment. And you're ready. Okay, you are who you are. And you are who you say you are. And I have a glimpse and a moment and yeah. That's wiping away the tear. That's the remitting of a sin. That's the blotting out of a list of transgressions that are against you. That's the kind of anointing that God needs to do to liberate us from the conditions that we get ourselves clogged in. And when he does, oh, beloved, it is like the old memories fade away and the new mercies come rushing in. And it just takes a moment to say, God, in effect, I'm going to step back into Jesus Christ. I'm not going to ask you to solve the problems that I'm in. I'm going to let you be the answer to the problems I'm in. I'm going to engage in encounter, and I'm going to receive life from you, joy from you, righteousness from you, self-worth from you, everything. Because I am connected to you. My life is in you. I have no life apart from me. So I'm going to enjoy all of your life. I am now dependent upon God. And God's going, that's how you were created. That was the design from the beginning. Everything was by grace. Lucifer fell. Humanity went with him. And now they've been restored through my son. And now we can live in oneness. And all it takes is for you to abide in me through what my son accomplished and with his words in you, live in fellowship and truth. Be honest about your life, but let me always be the answer. Process the stuff, but let me be the releaser. Don't put demands on me. Let me be the liberator. Don't try to control me. I don't do good with control. Let me control you. Let me lead you. Let me be God to you. And then this little soul that's just fragmented, frightened child that's still trying to sort things out just begins to go, okay, I'm just going to trust you. Whatever, whatever, whatever. And little by little, faith begins to prevail and the soul begins to release and joy begins to be the powerful force of happy Christians. We can all smile in Thanksgiving and not like it. You can smile. Oh, Papa Sheba Kaba. I can't convince you. You're all too smart. You got to want it. I'm telling you, there is a freedom that you can live in Jesus Christ, that you can walk away from 99% of the issues that are stopping you right now from having a good life. No more money, but happier. No more resolution, but peace. No more control, but free. You can do it. It's there. And it doesn't, and once you start to break the cycle of the lie. And the lie is you are responsible for your future. You are the God that needs to make the right decision to get to the right place. It's up to you. No, it's up to Jesus Christ. He is the one who gets you to the future. He is the one that will bring you to your place. And if you connect there, that's what's going to happen. We're going to connect there. So, Lord, I'm asking now for help. If we could just be in your presence, not afraid, and feel your touch and hear your words and be forgiven and be in righteousness and be in Christ, then so much would just literally just fall off and find no place to carry it. Lord, you are the one who can turn anything. Ashes bring forth beauty. Mourning bring forth joy. Heaviness and depression bring forth praise. Shame, dishonor bring forth glory. Confusion bring forth joy in the right portion, the bridal gown. You do this supernaturally, but it's sustained by agreement and your truth. You bring these moments, and then we carry them day by day in our encounter with you. And then we become a people that carry you without having any right to carry you. And we can bring you to places we have no godliness or power to do, but you do. Your name is great. Right now, we are all sitting in life, and some of us stuck in life. Our tires are flat, our car is in the mud, and we have no way out. We don't know what to do. And time is against us. And there's so many things yet undone. And we ask you right now, Lord, that would you come and just say, hey, you want a new car? Step into my car. Step into my ride. Let me give you a lift. Let me bring you into the new place. Let me bring a resolution that you cannot explain. Let me not answer your questions. Let me just be your experience. And he's coming with great grace. And we're kind of like misgiving and trust. And I'm not sure. And he says, come on. I saved you once. I can save you a second time. And a third. And a fourth. And a fifth. I can bring joy and I can bring peace. You're going to have to. And then we get out of the car and we're about ready to go. But we think, oh, I got the suitcase in the back seat. I got to grab it. And he says, no suitcase is coming. I don't have room for suitcases. Just you. Yeah, but all the suitcases, what's in them? I have promises that I have to see fulfilled. I have prayer requests that I need to be answered. I have resolution to conflicts that I'm responsible for. I am intercessor to the world, and the world is going to not make it if I don't get these things finished. He says, no, let it go. Just come with me. And the answer, and we go, okay. Are you sure? And he smiles and he says, I am absolutely sure. Come. 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 And we give him that opportunity, and he begins to meet us on a whole other plane. And he says, mark the place that I meet you tonight, today, for this is the place I'll meet you tomorrow. You have no need to recount where you've been because I've started a new place for you. I'm making all things new. So I'm going to mark you in a new place to grant you a new day, and you can live from this new place, a new day. Don't go back and try to reclaim things of the past. For debts that have been forgiven cannot be recollected. And I forgive your debts, so you will forgive all other debts. And be free. What we're going to do is, anyone who feels God's stirring, that there's a place that he wants to heal or touch or release the wiping of tears, Cammie and I and the ministry team want to lay hands on. And to do so, you may not need any of it, so there's no need to come for that. But Cammie and I want to give what we have. We are like the trauma king and queen. I didn't say drama. Trauma. I know righteousness and I know disappointment. I know expectations and I know missed expectations. I know failed grace. And I've had to discover God is not in my failed grace. He's in the new grace of the new day. And I've had to keep making the quantum leaps into that. Like a Jeremiah. Prophecies get me in prison. And then he says, think another prophecy. And I go, I can't because I'm in prison. It's learning that art of letting go. The ministry team carry the same anointing. We're just going to go around and just lay hands. It's simple. Touch. God is going to meet you. It's a new Thanksgiving. The traumas of yesterday are forgiven. The tears are wiped away. The new day has begun. I don't know whatever we say. It doesn't matter what we say. It matters what Jesus does. It's just in Jesus' name, there's a new day. In Jesus' name, begin to live again. In Jesus' name, carry me into what you're going to be in. It may not change on the outside, but you get to be new on the inside. And I don't know how that, what happened. It may be the conversation you carry home and you begin to go, Lord, what is that? I mean, what are you saying to me about this? What things am I holding on to that you want me to let go of? What questions am I demanding an answer for that you aren't willing to answer? Why won't you answer? It may start a conversation like the woman at the well and just kind of a wrestling back and forth. But then a moment comes and all of a sudden you see him for who he is, and that's all you need. There he is. Walks in and liberates. So to do this in a short fashion and not make it cumbersome is we're just going to make a line of people around the front, and then we'll go around and lay hands on you. Does that make sense? That way we're not crowding all in and waiting for who's been prayed for, who's not. That way everybody will be prayed for who wants to be, and the anointing will touch where we are and liberate us from what we're stuck in. Does that make sense? And some of us are getting stuck in some really awful stuff, man. Some really bad things happen to people. Evil things. But Jesus Christ is Lord. And Jesus Christ has come to liberate his bride without necessarily taking her out of her place. Because once liberated, we become a liberator. And that's why he's not quickly getting us out of things as he is trying to get us into him. So moving in your heart, Ed, if you can help us in the ushers, we're just going to go ahead and come on up and line up. Let me just pray this blessing, because that way you're free to leave too. There's nothing worse than being in a church service that you're not allowed to leave in. Dear God, I'm not doing that. Dear Father, in Jesus' name, bless us. I don't know what I said today. I hope I said something you wanted said. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would just to each of us be for us the greatest gift of liberty and freedom that you are. Find a way to access everything that's locked us up and everything that's controlling us, and release us into the glory of Jesus Christ and the freedom he brings and the glory he gives us. Bless every Thanksgiving. May we see you, feel you. May we report to you how you were glorious this Thanksgiving. May we be more thankful for you because you are the one that we saw in so many ways. May you magnify yourself in this world as you magnify yourself inside of each of us. We praise you and thank you. We bless the body to go into their future, into this glorious day. In Jesus' name, amen.